Blog Talk Radio.
I need y'all to welcome my brother Chandler Moore. Come on. Everybody put your hands on it small. Room, come take your rightful place. We need you now. I need you to raise it.
We're ready.
For you to move.
We invite you
to fill this room. Holy Spirit, come touch your people. Come, Holy Spirit, come set your people free.
Cause we want to, everybody.
We want to
say, we want moon, no.
We want moon.
Cause God, we want you, yes we do.
We want you.
Made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, and God bless you, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, October the 3rd, 2021. I am Bishop Shalene Cook. I am the woman of God of this assembly, but as always, I am being joined by some very beautiful and anointed servant leaders in the persons of Apostle Edwin and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Evangelist Gladys Manny McGee, Evangelist Tina Brown, and for all of you that are in the studio this morning, our sanctuary this morning, I just want to welcome you and let you know that we are so glad that you are here. We praise God for you, and we want you to know that we pray that you really do have a hallelujah, good time experience here today at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. So at this time, I am going to ask that Prophetess Kathleen Holloway come forth and open us in prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Father God. Father God, this morning we just lift you up, magnifying your name, praising your name this morning. And Father God, we just ask that you would give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying today on the broadcast. Oh God, as the speaker of the hour brings forth the anointed message, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would set free and deliver, bring joy to those that have no joy, bring peace, Father God, to those that have no peace. Father God, all around the world, bring hope and comfort to your people. And let us experience you this day on this broadcast, oh God, as we praise and worship you. It is a worship experience, Father God, and we thank you. We thank
yes,
you
Jesus.
For moving to each and every person that speaks or has a word to say. Father God,
yes,
today in the name of
yes.
Jesus, God, we just give you the praise and the glory for your anointing throughout the whole radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we'll be so careful and so honored to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in the name of your dear son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Listen, wherever you're sitting at right now, I just need you to go down memory lane just one good time. And I need you to think, when was the first time you ever felt the Holy Ghost? That crazy feeling that you get in your spine might be the reason for the tears in your eyes. It got you moving like never before. It's got you laying face down on the floor. So don't let nobody tell you that it ain't true. When you feel sweet presence rushing over you, I call it
that damn talk of Holy Ghost.
Oh yeah.
That damn talk of Holy Ghost.
Oh, oh.
That damn talk of Holy Ghost.
Yes it is, yeah.
It's
talk of
Holy Ghost.
Hey, it's taking over now, you're waving your hands. Speaking languages you don't understand. You start to lose all the pain in your heart. Now you're seeing light where it used to be dark. So don't let nobody tell you that it ain't true. When you feel your sweet presence rushing over you. Holy Ghost thing is. But I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, listen, they were all on one accord and they began to speak in other tongues. And then the wind came and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they began to speak in other tongues. Hey, it's called the Holy Ghost.
And talking about that there is called the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord, and we are so grateful for your Holy Ghost. We are so grateful for your Spirit that indwells within us. At this time, we will have this morning's meditational reading, which is always presented by our most beloved Mother of the Church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. And this morning, as always, she will be reading from a beautiful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So my brothers, my sisters, please give your undivided attention to the mother of this church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, as she brings us this morning's meditational reading. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you. The meditational reading this morning is Jesus, entitled Jesus, King and Lord over the Storm. We'll be looking at Matthew 14 at verse 27, which reads, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. As you are going through a dark, are you going through a dark, difficult moment in your life? Perhaps the storm just rages on with no let up and you are trembling in fear. You feel that any time now you may just cave in and go under because you cannot beat this storm. Be comforted that Jesus sees what you are going through and he always comes to where you are in your darkest hour. He did that for his disciples one stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus came walking on the stormy waters, walking on top of the problem that was threatening to overwhelm them. He is indeed the King and Lord over the storms. When your eyes are on Christ, even though the storms are raging and the winds are blowing, you will know that you are above your troubles and circumstances. When people ask you how you are doing under circumstances, tell them, I'm not under the circumstances. I am on top of them because my God is above all. Don't be fearful. He will come to you walking on the stormy waters. Hear his comforting voice telling you, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And as you behold Jesus, you become like him. You will find yourself doing things you did not know you could do. You will, like Peter, walk on water, verse 28 and 29. This happens when you are occupied with the person of Jesus, with his resources, love, wisdom, ability, power, and majesty. My friends, even during the times when you take your eyes off Jesus, he never takes his eyes off of you. And when you cry out to him, he will immediately stretch out his hand to catch hold of you. You will not go under. There may be times that you are not able to find your way back. Jesus will then hold your hand and walk you back to the boat. And like Peter, you will realize that with your hand in his, the storm will come to a standstill. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. And the thought for the day, as you behold Jesus, you will find yourself doing things you did not know you could do. Amen.
Amen.
All over the world, we say, a great truth. Everyone, remember, remember. My brother, my sister. I see your tears. Remember. Not from God. He's He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say,
thank God, my thank God, my thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God, my thank God, my thank God.
Oh, that's the truth, y'all. Now see, if you think that's good, it just gets better. Because joy cometh in the morning. And whatever you're going through now, it's only to make you better, make you closer, make you stronger. So I need for you to sing it from that place now. Say!
Liar, 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 liar.
Yeah, yeah. So what I want you to do right now, I want you to look at that person next to you. That's right, that's right. Look at them right now. Look at them right in the face. Come on, you look better than them anyway. You ain't got to be scared. That's right. And from your gut, from your spirit, look at your brother, your sister, and tell them. I need to hear you. Sing it. There it is. Yeah. Come on, a little bit more. Tell them, don't worry. Don't worry. Sing it.
Franklin and the World Children's Community Choir, Lean on Me. Hallelujah. That is our prayer for our brothers and sisters today, that you would lean on Jesus. Hallelujah. And that you would know that we're here for you to lean on us. Hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family. We touch hearts, spirit, and we agree. We lift up our brothers and sisters all over this world. We pray for those who are depressed, oppressed, harmed, or hurting. We pray for those of our unsaved loved ones. We pray for those unsaved co-workers. We pray for those babies in our communities. We pray because we know that when we take it to the Lord in prayer with a fervent heart, that he will hear our prayers and he will move on our behalf. So this morning, I am going to ask Apostle Zeta Flowers to come forth and lead us in our altar call. And then I am going to ask that Apostle Edwin Holloway come in, and I want him to say a very special prayer for all of the servant leaders and churches that are open in God's name today. So Apostle Zeta, Won't you please come forth with the altar call? And that will be followed by Apostle Edwin Holloway, who will be praying specifically for God's church. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, in a supernatural way, God. Work miracles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we lift up the hurting today. We lift up those, hallelujah, that need a hand touch this morning. We lift up those that are sick, praise God, and we just lift them up to you, God, knowing that you will move in their behalf. Yes, we ask, Lord, that you would touch, yes, in Jesus' name. Touch, yes, the children in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Those that are abused, yes, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those, Lord, that just need to be loved, hallelujah. Those that need to know you, we ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus, that you would make a difference in their lives, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, that you would send those that care about them, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that they may be touched, hallelujah. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by those that know you, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, there are so many, and we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in their lives, that you will make a change in their lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up this woman this morning that's in the hospital, that's in intensive care. We lift her up to you, God, right now in the name of Jesus. A dear and close friend of Minister Gladys, we ask, Lord, yes, that she would touch her heart in the name of Jesus, that she would heal her heart this morning in Jesus' name. Oh, God, have your way in the name of Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name, we're asking, Lord, for a divine healing, hallelujah, a miraculous healing today, in Jesus' name, in the mighty,
yes,
name of Jesus, in Jesus',
yes,
name.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
God, if there be any sick among us this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would heal, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Meet the needs, hallelujah, this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God, those that are hungry. Hallelujah. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We ask that you would feed them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you would bless them with natural food, but also spiritual food. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, that it would make a difference in their lives. Hallelujah. We speak salvation this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that you would save, save in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name,
yes,
of
Lord,
Jesus. Oh,
yes,
God, make a difference,
yes,
hallelujah, in those lives, those that don't know you, hallelujah,
yes,
in the
Lord,
pardoning of their sin. We speak salvation, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Have your way, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch, Lord, touch, hallelujah, move in a mighty way, in Jesus'
yes,
name,
Lord,
in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. You know the needs, Lord, everywhere. We ask that you would move right now, in Jesus'
yes, Lord,
name, hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah. Touch, Lord, in the hospitals, hallelujah,
yes,
the healthcare,
yes,
workers, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, have mercy on your people, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. in the name of Jesus, those that are suffering, hallelujah, with COVID, hallelujah, we speak
yes,
healing
Lord.
Into their lives but in the name
Lord.
Of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God,
yes,
let there
Lord.
Be a breakthrough this morning, hallelujah, for those,
yeah.
hallelujah, that are in need of it, in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, those that are struggling, hallelujah, those that just don't know what to do. We pray, Lord, that you would make a difference all over. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in
Jesus'
name. Have your
yes.
way, God. And
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You. We
thank
you,
Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you for the supernatural move of God this morning.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You, hallelujah.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for the miracle,
yes,
hallelujah, that you
yes.
have wrought this morning. Hallelujah. That you are yet working miracles. And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Hallelujah. Let this day be a blessed and perfect day. Hallelujah. For
yes,
those that we have
Jesus.
Lifted up in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah,
thank
Jesus.
You.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac,
yes.
and Jacob. Father
yes.
God, we thank you, oh God,
yes.
and we come before your throne, God, and we lift up all the ministries, all the churches, all
yes.
the pastors,
yes, Lord.
All the
yes,
leaders,
Lord.
Oh God, in the name of
yes.
Jesus. Father God, we lift them up, oh God, that they, oh God, that you will move in your in their behalf, God, that you will
yes.
anoint them, oh God, on this day, God. For this
yes,
is
Lord.
The day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in
yes.
it. So,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God,
yes.
we thank you. And we give you praise that you touch them, O God, that they will
yes,
speak
Lord.
The unadulterated truth.
Yes.
Lord,
yes,
that
Lord.
They will speak your word and not,
yes,
not a word, but speak
yes,
your
Lord.
Truth, O God, in
yes.
the name of Jesus,
yes.
Lord. And, Lord, that their word will go out of the airways, God, wherever they may be, God, wherever
yes.
they're home in service, God,
glory.
That you will
blessed
be
God.
In the midst of it, oh
yes,
God,
Lord.
In the name of
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Lord, touch, oh God, deliver, set free, God, even in those ministries, God.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
that somebody, God, will get delivered, set free, somebody will get healed. Oh, God,
yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to say
Lord.
Thank you, God,
thank
that you
Lord.
Hear our
yes.
prayer.
Yes.
And,
thank
Lord,
you,
that
Lord.
You answer our prayer
yes.
in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, God, we just thank you. And we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen
Jesus.
And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank
amen.
You, beautiful saints. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
do it one more time. Come on, open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
Oh, we're all.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me. We're all.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
It is now time for this morning's message. So, saints of God, I'm going to ask that you retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so. And I would like for you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. And we will be looking at verses 1 through 13. Turn back to the book of Acts. We will be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If you are listening via your computers and you do not have a Bible, you can simply go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and it will bring the scripture up for you. Hallelujah. Now, as you know, if you have been following along with us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, you know that we have been on a transformational journey in becoming and remaining God's dream team. So today, I am really praising God because one thing that I can say about the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience that I know that they share with the church of in the book of Acts is that we are a church on fire. Hallelujah. And we really do understand that we are in this thing together, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now let's look at the word of God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians." We do hear them speak in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Oh, no. Saints of God, if we are going to be God's dream team, if we are going to, hallelujah, do the work of the kingdom, then we must be a body of believers that are on fire, full of the Holy Ghost. And we must know that we are all in this thing together. Now, isn't it nice to know that you are not alone? Now, I'm sure there has been many times when we felt alone, but we know if we have a relationship with Jesus, we are never alone. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. His plan for the church is that no believer should have to be lonely or walk through trials alone. Nope, we don't have any lone rangers or no lonely strangers in the body of Christ. God has also given us all the power that we need to obey him and fulfill his call on our lives. So the idea that I want you to wrap your mind around today is that God wants us to live an empowered life, a life of abundance, in unity with other believers. So what does that look like and how can we do that? Well, today from this passage of scripture that we just read, I will be making several observations that will help us to see what God wants to do in us, through us, and among us today. First and foremost, we need to understand that there is power in our unity. Unity is essential to the body of Christ because it reflects the true nature of the body. Anything less than Christian unity in the church is a false representation of who Jesus and his people are. Amen. You see, the word of God said they were all together in one place. How many of you know that it is possible to be together without really being together? You see, it is one thing for a family to gather together around the table, but it is another thing for them to get along in harmony and show love and respect to one another. It is one thing for a church to gather for service, but it is another for everyone to be on board or be on one accord in fulfilling the mission of God for the church. When a church is able to come together as one, laying aside our individualism and all of our own personal agendas, watch out, because God will use this church to shake up the world around them. Well, these early believers were gathered together geographically as well as spiritually. They were all concerned about obeying the words of Jesus, who had told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Now, if we look back to Acts in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. You see, they were united by the love of Christ and by his command and his promise. He said, wait, and you will receive. Now, what might have happened if the disciples had still been arguing about who was the greatest among them, like they had did sometimes in the previous 3 years? What if they had split up into various little groups instead of uniting together? Well, we don't really know what might have happened, but I believe that it was central to God's plan that they remain together in unity. Jesus had prayed for them in John 17. He said, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. God answered that prayer, and the believers lived that out in their everyday lives. Now listen, unity does not mean that we all have to think alike, nor does it mean that there can never be disagreements or discussions about decisions to be made. But what unity does mean is that we are on the same team, serving the same God, and working together as a team to spread the gospel to our community. And when disagreements come up as to how we should best do that, we should be able to sit down together and work out a solution. You see, God gives great ideas to a lot of different people. And as ideals and resources are shared, we can be more effective as God's people. You see, we really are in this thing together. We all need God's help, and we all need one another. Well, the early church had it going on in the way of unity. Yes, they did. But that was only part of the equation. You see, something more was needed, and it came on the day of Pentecost. So now I want to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, we need to understand that unity accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit will result in effective ministry. Hallelujah. You see,
yes, it will.
Unity alone will not help us to reach the world. Oh, we may all get along, but we can never reach the people of our community without the power of God. I have heard of churches joining together with other churches in the name of reaching their community together, and this sounds like a great idea, and I believe that it really can be, and I really believe that it should be, but unfortunately, it doesn't always go down like that.
No.
The focus is usually on the churches and not on the Lord. Uh-huh. Or the focus is on the power he wants to give them to be effective witnesses and not on the Lord. Or they want to maintain their control over something that doesn't even belong to them. So a lot of times it may begin with good intentions. But most of the times it becomes all about church people, and it doesn't be, and not about the Lord or the lost in the least. Now, I am not saying it has to be one or the other. I do believe that we can have unity and the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, unity could be identified as part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is not listed as such in Galatians 5:22-23, but love, joy, and peace are there. Patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the ingredients of unity. So let's pursue unity and believe God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be witnesses the way God called us to be. Now, in the early 1900s, a major revival began in Los Angeles. It became known as the Azusa Street Revival. What the Holy Spirit did there was really quite a revolutionary for its time. Here's what Dr. Gary McGee of the Assemblies of God writes about Azusa Street. He said, according to the Los Angeles Times, a bizarre new religious sect had started with people breathing strange utterances and mouthing a creed which would seem no sane mortal could understand. Furthermore, devotees of the weird doctrine practiced the most fanatical rites, preached the wildest theories, and worked themselves into a state of mad excitement. Now that didn't grab the reader's attention. The article continued by saying that colored people and a sprinkling of whites composed the congregation. And night is made hideous in the neighborhood by the howlings of worshipers who spend hours swaying forth and back and forth in a nerve-wracking attitude of prayer and supplication. And to top it all off, they claim to have received the gift of tongue. And what's more, they said they comprehended the babble. Nonetheless, for the spiritually hungry who came from far and wide to receive their Pentecost, the very atmosphere of heaven had descended, according to one. A visiting Baptist pastor said, "The Holy Spirit fell upon me and filled me literally, as it seemed to lift me up, for indeed I was in the air in an instant, shouting, 'Praise God!' And instantly I began to speak in another language. I could not have been more surprised if at the same moment someone had handed me $1 million. Now, little could the subscribers of the Times have guessed that in years to come, historians would say that the Azusa Street Revival played a major role in the development of modern Pentecostalism, a movement that changed the religious landscape and became the most vibrant force of world evangelism in the 20th century, for some. Now, let me just say that Pentecostalism has not until more recent times enjoyed the favor of the world or the most non-Pentecostal denominations. Now, you might wonder why, but it may be the old age human tendency to demonize what we don't understand. If people don't understand what speaking in tongues and other such strange behavior is all about, then they fear it and or they reject it. So why did early Pentecostals risk being made fun of and gaining a reputation of being a bunch of wild and crazy fanatics? Well, I think it was because they were desperate for the presence of God, and they really believed that God wanted to do for them what he had done for the believers in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that everything went on at the Azusa Street was proper or necessarily the Holy Spirit. However, I do see a group of humble people who knew they were nothing without God, and they knew that they were nothing without his Holy Spirit. They knew that they had very little to offer on their own, which is why they wanted to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. They knew that God's power would come with the presence of his Holy Spirit. And since this time, Pentecostalism has circled the globe, and millions of people around the world have come to know the experience of Acts chapter 2. Now, there are a lot of questions that we have, that we may have, and we may never know the answers to until we get to heaven. For example, Why was the baptism in the Holy Spirit almost unheard of from the second century, from the second century to the 20th century? Well, now, some Christian historians point out that there were always a few who were spirit-filled throughout the history of the church. However, it became the exception rather than the norm. There are isolated reports of people speaking other tongues and being used by God in miraculous ways to spread the gospel. Some would say the gifts of miracles of Acts and Corinthians were only for the first century church to become established. And once the canon of scripture was completed, then those things were just, they just weren't needed any longer. Ha ha, well, I have some news for you. You better look around you. Obviously, we're missing something. This world is a mess. Oh, and as a matter of fact, the church is a mess. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to move beyond our human efforts and bring life, hope, and transformation to a dying, sin-sick world. We need the promise of the Father. We need to receive the power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We need help being witnesses to God, for God as he has called us to be. Well, now, our next question becomes then, how do we know when a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at it. See, other tongues. Let's look at this other tongues. This was the same sign for all of them. I would be the first to tell you that I don't understand everything there is to know about tongues. Yes, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, and sometimes I speak in tongues in my prayer life, in my prayer time. However, why tongues? Why did God choose to have the believers speak out in a tongue they did not understand when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you might as well put your mind at ease, because we're not going to be able to answer this morning. But I would love to sit down and talk to you about it sometimes. One thing I can say is that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord would come on people and they would prophesy, declaring the word of God. Perhaps the other tongues served as a sign the gospel was not to be limited to the Jews alone. And maybe God had them speak in other tongues to show that God's word was to be for all nations everywhere, regardless of his reason. We can find consistent witness in the book of Acts that speaking in tongues typically was accompanied by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 2 and 4, that was the first instance. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all spoke in other tongues. Acts 10, 44 through 46 gives us a second witness. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. How did they know that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to the Gentiles? They heard them speak in tongues. The third witness is found in Acts 19, 1 through 6. Paul says to the church of Ephesus, he found some disciples, too, and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not heard, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, believe on Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah! There are two other occasions that may lend support to the fact that speaking in tongues normally accompanied the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One is in Acts 8, 14 through 20. And it says, when Peter and John arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive this Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money."
Yeah.
The argument here is that Simon must have heard the people speak with other tongues in order to know that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wanted that power to lay hands on people so that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and presumably speak in other tongues. Finally, we have the life of Paul himself as a witness. Ha! Because after being blinded on the road to Damascus, Paul was led on to Damascus, where Ananias met him and prayed for him. Ananias said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, we don't read that Saul, who became Paul, spoke in tongues here. But we do read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18 where Paul said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Please
Glory.
Understand that my goal in covering all of this is to show the biblical pattern for being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know you've been filled? Well, according to Acts, you will most likely speak in other tongues, but that it is not limited to that. It is possible for someone to be filled with the Holy Ghost and never speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Hear me clearly. All I know is what I read in scriptures. And you know what? We can also see in Acts that people never sought to speak in tongues. That was a sign, but it was not the focus. You see, the focus is and must always be the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus is our focus, we will be eager to receive whatever he has for us, and we're not going to be afraid of it. Oh, yes, indeed. It may take us way, 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 way out of our comfort zone. But God has a way of doing that when he does something significant in our lives. Hallelujah. There will always be evidence because the Spirit enables us to do, you know, because speaking in tongues gives us the ability to speak. You know why? Because the utterance does not come from us. However, it is not something that we lose complete control over, because losing control over ourselves, that's not in the New Testament pattern.
No.
Okay? So, hear me. The Holy Spirit enables us to do whatever God says we should do. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:32 that the spirit of the prophet is subject to or under the control of the prophet. This should tell us two things. First, speaking in tongues is indeed controllable. It is not something that comes about by working ourselves up into a frenzy. But it is something that comes from us seeking God and asking him for the gift he has promised us.
Yes.
Now, for some, it is more emotional than others, because some people are more emotionally expressive than others. However, it's still controllable. Second, even though we have control over it, it does not come from us. We don't get to make things up as we go. The Holy Spirit is telling us what to say. We might not even know what we're saying when we're speaking in tongues. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God.
Yeah.
Indeed,
yeah.
No one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. God wants us to understand everything that he's saying. And when we are in corporate worship, you are not going to hear anybody speaking in tongues that you're not going to hear an interpreter. Because, see, on the day of Pentecost, the tongues were understood by different language groups. However, we never read of what, you know, what the, of that happening again in the Bible. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, I don't know. But as Paul indicates in Scripture, the Scripture that we just read, no one understands tongues. That is why Paul prefers to have people prophesy. Or if there is a message in the tongue in the midst of the Christian gathering, there should also be an interpretation of those tongues. That is also one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12.
Yes.
It does not mean that the one that one of the listeners can suddenly understand the language of the tongue. It simply means that the Holy Spirit gives that message to someone else to speak that language in a way that everyone can understand it. There have been occasions where people, usually people from another language group, have heard a message in tongues and understood it in their language, their native language. You see, God can do anything. However, I know that does not seem to be the normal use of tongues. Some early Pentecostals thought that God wanted to use tongues this way so they wouldn't have to study a foreign language in order to take the gospel to other nations. And it never happened for them. But God did use their lives to reach people with the gospel. Declaring God, the Holy Spirit declares God's wonders. A final word about tongues is in order here. The listeners exclaimed, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. The point of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to declare the wonders of God. The purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit is to declare the wonders of God. Hallelujah. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us power to be witnesses to all nations. So let's not get stuck on the tongues, shall we? Or the way we think we should or shouldn't be. Let us focus on declaring the wonders of God to anybody and everybody who has ears to hear. If we love the Lord with all of our hearts, we will want to declare his wonders in every way that we can. Finally, let's just note the reactions of the listeners. The people ask, what does this mean? Well, here we go, thanks to God. That was a perfect invitation for the gospel. And Peter stood up and preached the best sermon of his whole entire life. Not because Peter was all of that, but because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. When is the last time someone was amazed and perplexed as a result of God's work in your life? We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it is a part of God's plan to reach the world. We need it because it gives us boldness to be witnesses. It gives us boldness to be what he wants us to be. We need it because God has gifted it to us. And let me tell you something. God doesn't give any bad gifts. He has never in his whole being gave a bad gift. All of his gifts are useful and they're powerful. In closing this morning, I know we've covered a lot of territory and I hope I didn't leave you in a cloud of dust. But I hope that you've been able to see that God's plan for his church is in his unity. We are in this thing together. However, God also wants his church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can effectively share the gospel with our family, our friends, our neighbors, and all of our acquaintances. God wants his family to grow. One of the frequent prayers that we pray should be, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And even if you've experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the past, we need to still keep going back for more and more and more and more, because the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. but it's an ongoing relationship. It's an ongoing experience. We need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as the disciples did in the book of Acts, we should also expect to speak in tongues when we are filled with the Spirit. God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we will need to open up our mouths and declare the wonders of God. You see, God knows what each and every one of us need today. Maybe there's something you need to do to promote more unity in your place of worship. Unity is based upon all the relationships we have with one another. Are you at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? If not, I suggest you go to them and make things right today. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whether it's the first time, the 50th time, or the 1,000th time, you need to seek God today. Ask him to receive his power and his glory. Now, if speaking in tongues has been an issue for you, what you need to do, instead of wondering about it, trying to force the issue, pretending, what you need to do is just go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is a gift that I really would like to have. And if it is your will, Father God, I would really and truly like to receive it. And then after you prayed that prayer, then expect to receive it. Okay? But maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet. You are not certain that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven. Well, the good news from the Bible is that you can know that you are going to heaven. Jesus came to earth over 2,500 years ago, and he lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted and tested on every side. Then he was put to death by the Roman government and some of the Jewish leaders. However, in God's plan, the death of Jesus provided payment for the sin of the world. And those who receive Jesus as the leader of their lives and ask him to forgive them of their sin will have eternal life. If you confess your sins to God today, he will forgive you and he will make you clean. He will give you a brand new beginning. He will give you a future. Hallelujah. And your future will be with him in heaven. And if you want to be sure of your eternal destiny today, hallelujah, raise your hand, raise your heart, raise your spirit, cry out to God right now and ask him to come into your life and to save you and make him your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, and to God be the glory. At this time, I am going to ask that, hallelujah, evangelist Gladys Manny McGee come into the room, and she is going to extend an invitation to you to enter into a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to pray this prayer with you to extend your relationship with Jesus, to open up doors wherein you have a divine connection with God. And it's very simple. It's just to open up your heart and to receive him as your Lord and Savior and believe that he died on the cross and rose on the third day. And we shall be saved with just that remembrance. But we have to accept him into our hearts and into our lives. And I'd just like to pray this prayer with you. If you can repeat after me, God, I am a sinner, Father God, Lord. I am seeking your grace, your face, your mercy, Father God, Lord. I am asking that you come into my life, Father God, and take complete control, Father. I do accept you in my life to be my leader, my guider, and to open doors for me. If you believe that God died and rose on the third day, and prayed this prayer, then you are saved. The heavens is rejoicing right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you for joining a fellowship of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask that evangelist Michelle Scott come into the room and pray for the new converts, because I know new converts are very close to her heart. Amen. Evangelist Scott. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know
amen.
That evangelist.
Amen. You hear me?
Yes, dear.
Can
we
you
hear
me?
Yes,
I'm
dear.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every convert that's come to the fold, Father God. And we thank you for those who come back home to you, Father God. We just ask that you put your loving arms around you, around each and every last one of them, Father God. We ask that they will find a church home near them or some organization near them that's teaching your words, that they can live by what you are teaching, not what man is teaching, but what you're teaching, Father God,
Lord.
So that they can be stand up straight and do what you want them to do and live right by your words and teaching, Father God. So we just thank you for finding them where they are, Father God. And we just all love them and we welcome them home. Welcome home. We love you. God bless each and every last one of you. God bless you and welcome home.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have had a wonderful service here today, and I just want to praise God for all of you that attended today. I also want to make a very special announcement. Our very own Pastor Jeffrey Scott will be preaching at his local church today. So if any of you would like to join me as I go over and support him at the Good Shepherd today, just inbox me and I will send you the link so that you can be in the service and we can support our brother as he preaches at his local church today. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to ask that that Mother Mitchell come forth and that she brings us our benediction. And once again, if you want to join us at Good Shepherd during their Zoom service, please just inbox me directly after this service and I will send you the link so that you can join Pastor Scott. Mother Mitchell.
Thank you, Bishop. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and we are just so blessed that you were all here with us today. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. We also would like to invite you to Revival Mondays beginning tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are going to go into a high time of revival, and we are going to break it down, and by the time we get through, we are truly going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So on behalf of all of us, we pray again, be blessed, and acknowledge Christ in all that you're doing from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you and so do we. Blessings, everyone.
You
thank you, beautiful family. God bless you.
God.
Have a beautiful
God.
Week,
God.
Family.
God.
I love
God.
You all. Love you.
Love
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank
you.
Love you.
Love you. God bless you all.
Bye-bye.